Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Unbothered. Unbothered.
Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. Shoot. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just been bossed up. I've been high. My shit been bossed up. I've been high. My shit been
What's up, fam? It is the whole family with us together. And, you know we're going to be talking about Christmas and SantaCon. And the con is spelled K-O-N. And if anybody knows exactly what K-O-N means, it's actually our father who's king of nature. So it has many meanings behind it, one of which is king of nature. The second aspect of it is, if anybody out there listening is from New York City, you know what SantaCon is. It's a very interesting celebration of, you know, people coming together and just, you know, having a little bit too much fun. But it also has meanings, and we also wanted to discuss the SantaCon aspect of it, of con as in a lot of the financial cons that are being, you know, thrown at us from a financial aspect, and also the psychological, you know, effects it's having on us as individuals. You know, how are we being financially felt about, you know, having to spend all this money on just one day, and, you know, the effects it has on individuals, and do they feel like they've made it? Do they feel like this is a great Christmas for them because they're financially being given a whole bunch of money in order to, you know, substitute what it is instead of being with their family and everything? So, you know, I wanted to start it off with, you know, our father, Brother Kawahata Kamenei, and I wanted him to tell his story, because literally every year on Christmas, we would walk to our local movie theater, and he would tell us two stories. So I want him to share those stories with everybody else, because I felt like these stories are amazing stories, and they taught us a lot and to mold who we are to this day and how we think of Christmas and the holidays. And I can't wait for Kwanzaa tomorrow. But yeah, Daddy, talk to us about, tell us these stories that you used to tell us every year up until now. So, but I wanted everybody else to hear. So go ahead, Daddy, tell us.
Hotep family. It's so good to be here with you and spend this time with you on this day, and just the memories, you know, of growing up, because, you know, I grew up in a generation, there was no Kwanzaa. I was literally in the first grade when I realized, and quite sadly, that there was no such thing as Santa Claus.
Aww.
Concept, I grew up in a project, and yet the story of Santa was that he came down chimney, and I knew that there was no chimney in the project, there was no chimney in my building.
Oh.
But the illusion that we faced growing up, and the idea that my parents, as hard as they worked, would give credit to another person, putting aside the person's culture and all the other things, the idea of my parents willing to renege their struggles to give my sister and I the gifts that we received, to create the fantasy of a Santa Claus that as a child growing up, I knew couldn't be true. Because the only image, of course, is that in most of the communities of European descent or wherever they lived, they had a chimney. They had a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very sensitive to the children and what they were being exposed to. I was very sensitive to the fact that for Sasha and Candace, later on Haru, our son, but for Sasha and Candace, there were children in their classrooms that still believed in Santa Claus. And I refused to give this individual credit for the hard work that their mother and I had put in to make it possible to have the types of Christmases that we had. So I was very sensitive to that. I was very sensitive to make sure that they knew the truth, but that they didn't impact the other children in the classroom to become a pariah or an outsider.
Hmm.
And so I would tell these stories to them to help them understand what the image was, because I believe in celebrating whatever you want to celebrate.
Yep.
I'm not judgmental. I don't tell people what they should or should not do or what they should or should not buy. I know what I do. I know what I did. But I don't judge other people. Everybody do their own thing. You do you. As long as you're comfortable in what you're doing, and as long as you're not bringing pain to yourself or to other people, you have a right to live your life. And so basically the two stories I would tell them was the image of what the story was talking about. Not about the Santa Claus, but about Jesus the Christ. The story of, and I would couch the story so that anybody listening to my story had to have known it had to have been a young brother. Because when you think about the story, you have to realize that the government that Jesus was born into was such that he could not be born in the hotel or the inn. They put him with the animals. They put him in the barn.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's where Jesus had to be born. So right there, I knew that was a brother. Or at least the image of somebody that was rejected. And the idea of him being born, and then I would talk about the star. I never said it was Sirius. I talked about the three visiting magi looking for the Christ child, which, of course, we know astronomically is the star system that we call Sirius, that on January 6th is going to rise up to be seen again by the three stars of Orion's belt. So the astronomy aspect I put in there, but I put it in through the story. Because remember, you're dealing with children. And sometimes as adults, we get so upset at the con job that's being done on us and our people. The idea of Santa Claus was a story I touched upon as it related to the love of children and to ensure that the children received gifts for the year. The idea of conducting yourself appropriately. Good things come to those who conduct themselves properly and appropriately. And so the story of the idea of someone bringing gifts, as I let them know it was your mother and I that did it, was the idea that you conducted yourself properly all year long, and then you deserve it. That you've worked for.
Yeah, but get your credit. You work hard for it. Get your credit for it.
Hey, that's it. Well, that's what a job is. No matter how you look at it, whether you own your own business or not, what you put in is what you get out. And that was the bottom line. The bottom line is in life, you will get out of life what you put in. That's why I used to tell my college students. You will get out of this class what you put in. And that's the idea that I tried to present to the children as we walked to the theater every Christmas day to see whatever movie was out for them. The other story was about Heru and the Asarian drama, about the real idea of the birth and the death of Asar and the birth of Heru, who resurrected his father. So it was a good story because although the sadness of the father dying, the beauty of the sun rising as the father resurrected it was a happy story. And it was a story that, again, as years got on, of course, we know that's the calendar system. But you're dealing with children, so you don't want to hit them with too much of that stuff at one time. So you build on it. So these were basically the stories that we would tell as we were walking to the theater, because the theater was in our neighborhood. We used to just have to walk around to the theater. So it was a healthy walk, but it gave us time to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted my children to know the story. I could not really tell this story to the children in the school system because, first of all, they're not my children. And I know that many adults take great offense when you begin to tell them things and then confuse the children because of the stories that the parents may be telling or the grandparents may be telling in the home. So I did not take the liberty of doing it with my children in the school system. I talked about the idea of you get out what you put in, the idea of conducting yourself properly. But basically these ideas I gave to my own children because I can control my family, but I tended not to try to control others. So these were the stories that we would tell as we would be walking to and coming from the movie house. And it's just – and you can tell that now these years later, the fact that they, our children are still my children, Conda Kay and Sasha, are still reminiscing and remembering.
Uh-huh.
And as they build their families, as parents, you set the pace for how your family operated, hoping that it was enjoyable so that they will continue the same concept as they go on. So, again, another concept is you hand down by generation these stories. But I really do think that nowadays, of course, it is really a great challenge because of the price of the toys and the bombardment of our children with the commercials and with the encouragement as it relates to male and female relationships, the idea of how many kisses you may get or how much love you have because of the size of the stone of the ring or how big the gift is or things like it. It's just something that we all, and again, going into Kwanzaa, this is what the idea of Kwanzaa was to return back to sacred basic principles of life, unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, collective cooperative economics, a purpose in life, creativity, and faith, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, so that we don't get inundated with this nonsense illusion of what the truest sense of these holidays are. Because long before they were holidays, the I was a Y. They were holy days. They were spiritual days. So that's my story.
Yes. As always, we always love these stories. I remember being like 5, 6 years old, walking and just holding on to my dad's coattail, just listening to these stories. And they're just such great memories every year, you know, just to hear these sort of stories and being able to reminisce and, you know, think back and just have amazing memories. So, you know.
And what's amazing is that when you grow up in an environment where you're being led to think and you're being led to put ideas together that are not as, like, not just you hear it and you believe it because you hear it. When you're raised from such a young age to not allow cognitive dissonance to control your life, it's so amazing how many other people are controlled by things that are told to them by other people. Because I don't knock anybody for their religion, but sometimes when I listen to things, I'm like, did you think about this before you made it your factual way of life? And it's not to be offensive. It's just we really have to begin to think about it, because I think that once we, you know, if you don't think and then one day you're led to think, like if you don't think about it, if you just believe it because it's the way that it is and because of the way that you were raised, and then let's say you take one of my dad's classes and it makes you, like, it wakes something up in you. It's like what he talks about with the light bulb, whether, you know, if you turn a light on in a dark room, is, and there are things in there, those things appear when you turn the lights on, or were they always there? And when things like that happen, it tends to rock your entire world, and it makes your whole world fall apart, because you see that the things that you were led to believe may not be true. And then you start to question everything else. But I think that when you're led to believe, when you're led to think at a young age, you grow up thinking. So my sister and I, my brother, you know, we've all been led to think. So when things, whenever I hear something, I always go to Google, or I go to Wikipedia, or I go to something and I research it and I find out about it. Somebody tells me a story, I'll go, no, I won't believe it blindly. I'll go and I'll research and I'll think about it. And I think that that is so healthy, because you don't grow up and then all of a sudden your whole world falls apart because you realize Santa Claus isn't real, or you know, what however you feel about religion. We're, our worlds are not rocked by certain concepts, because we've grown up thinking. We've grown up knowing that we have the ability to figure out things on our own, and we don't have to believe what everybody else tells us.
Yeah.
I think it's very dangerous when we just believe blindly what people are telling us, even at a young age, because the moment that you realize that this may not be the truth, your entire world falls apart.
Yeah, but I mean, like our father always said, don't believe a word I say. Research it.
Can I drop a bomb? Can I do it?
You can't, you know, and that's the psychological aspect of it. When a person has your mind, they have your all.
That's everything.
So if you sit there and you don't question what's being taught to you, you just believe it, like my sister was saying, blindly, you'll believe anything, and then you won't be able to develop yourself and be happy for yourself, because you're like, oh, wait, am I supposed to be like that? Is that where I'm supposed to be in life? Am I supposed to get this? Is that going to be acceptable? It shouldn't matter what anybody else thinks about what you're doing, or feed you. People can call you all names up and down. I don't care. It's not what they call me. It's what I answer to.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, in society, we can't let, you know, keep up with the quote-unquote Joneses. We can't let ourselves feel like we need to go above and beyond and spend more than we're able to, put everything on a credit card, and then we'll eventually pay it off. But that's like you end up paying 10 times how much you're supposed to pay. We can't let that psychological situation make us and break us, because we're happy. We should be happy regardless. There's times that I've gone to the projects. There's times that I've gone to not the most neighborhoods, and guess what? They're having fun.
Exactly.
They may not have financially millions in the bank, but in their hearts, they're worth a million. It's all about who you are in your mind. It's all about how you carry yourself, because a person can have a whole bunch of money, but they have no class. It's all about you and bettering yourself.
But that's the foundation of everything that I believe. That's literally how I feel about everything. So many people, and even for me working in the bank, so many people base their entire life on how much money they have in their bank account. I have people that, for their entire conversation, what is the representation of who they are as a person? Everything that they base their entire belief system on is financial. And they have no type of they're not people, they're bank accounts. They feel like being an ATM, being a human ATM, is what makes them a good person. And it's really unfortunate. Even, you know, I remember I took my son to the mall on Black Friday. I don't know. Don't ask why. I was getting my nails done. Listen, I think it's the first time I've been off on Black Friday. I was doing my nails. We got up early. And when I tell you, like, people were ready to run us over in the street.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to buy stuff. It's crazy to me. And most of the time, we go crazy during the holidays.
Yeah.
We talk woke for 11 months out of the year. And then November comes, the day after Thanksgiving comes, and people go crazy spending money, buying things for people, having, making sure that they post everything on Instagram or social media. They have to have everything. People have to see everything that they're doing. And then once the holidays are over, once their kid opens the last writing paper, and then the worst thing is a lot of kids that are not appreciative of family, they open their last gift and they're like, "What? Where's
this
the
is
rest
it.
Of presents? Why don't I have any more presents?" And you know, my son keeps saying, because we watched The Grinch and we were talking about that, because that's a very interesting movie. And we were talking about The Grinch, and I was explaining to him that The Grinch isn't about hating Christmas. The Grinch is about hating the greed of Christmas. And I think it's very interesting that he's green also. Like, the Grinch is,
it's
very moment.
Everything has a reason behind it. We just don't realize, and, you know.
I think that it was so And he was so against Christmas, and he didn't know why. And it took a little girl trying to let him know what the real meaning of Christmas was, because everybody had forgotten the meaning of Christmas. So Marcus, some keep saying Christmas is not about presents. Christmas is about family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way, and that's, he's only 7. And that's how my father raised us and my mother raised us. And that's how that's how we plan to raise our son, because it's not about money. It's nice to get gifts. I love getting gifts. Believe me, when I started doing boxes, I love getting gifts. We came here. I love it. But that's not everything that it's about. If I didn't get gifts, I would be fine. It wouldn't matter one day to the next whether or not I get gifts. It just spending time with family is what's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad that so many people spend so much time. And then there's a high of wrapping presents. There's a high of wrapping presents. There's a high of going shopping. There's a high of doing all these things. And then once it's over, the new year comes and we're all slapped with debt.
Uh-huh.
We're all slapped with work. We all gain 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody starts getting depressed. And by the time you build yourself up, it's the holiday time again.
Yeah.
So I think that as much as we may enjoy spending, and this is, where my financial backing comes in. As much as we love spending, doing all these things, we need to start building our mental foundation when it comes to money, so that we don't get wrapped up in the craziness of.
Wrapped up in a wrapping paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it down. All right, guys. I hope y'all enjoyed that song, because that's like one of my favorite jams. So we just wanted to take this, you know, second part of our show just to talk about our New Year's resolutions. Because, you know, it's not necessarily a New Year's resolution, because it should be happening regardless of the new year. But we just wanted to share, you know, give some inspirational talk and just talk about, like, where we see ourselves, what's going to happen in the future. 2019, honestly, is looking amazing. So, Sasha, go ahead. Tell us what you're about to do, Sasha.
Okay, so, you know, I am very creative, and I really enjoy doing different things. So this year, my family, you know, I know for me anyway, I am going to be trying my best to save some money. So what I'm trying to do is, I was doing this thing where, you know, I was preparing myself for the end of 2018. So it was going to be like the 2019 challenge. So I'm preparing myself in the end of 2018, and I was going to save as much money as I could all year, because I love going on vacation. I love, you know,
enjoying
my life.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that I am able to enjoy my life for the rest of my life. So I'm going to be saving all of my money in 2019, so that when 2020 comes around, I don't have to transfer money from a savings account into my checking. I don't have to, you know, make sure that I got the right thing going on. So what I plan on doing is making sure that I am able to do whatever I want, whenever I want. So sometimes you just gotta cut out a little thing. Sometimes we even have like little subscriptions that are $10 a month, and you're like, oh, it's only $10, and then you have 20 of them. So you end up spending a whole lot of money because you think it's only $10 a month. So I think that cutting out things that are not essential to your life is the foundation of what I plan on doing in 2019. I'm going to reevaluate the things that I have, and then make sure that I have what I really want. Because sometimes we think we want something,
mm-hmm.
and they're fun, but I want to be able to do whatever I really, really want. So the only way for me to do whatever I really, really want is to get rid of the stuff that I just did on a whim. Like, something.
Yeah, because you get it, and then you're just like, you lose it. Exactly. You feel the high when you buy it, and then it loses its value as soon as you step out.
I just went to the mall the other day, and I spent some money, and I got home, and I was like, you can't see me, but I'm looking at the imaginary thing, like, And I went back the next day and returned it. Not because I had to, but because I was just like, what? Why?
Yeah.
I didn't even want, but I was in the store, next to the store, and I just went in there out of habit and ended up spending money. And I was like, I don't need any of these. So I think it's really important to evaluate what we think we want and what we actually want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, evaluating what we think we want and what we actually want, and being able to do something that we really want to do,
mm-hmm.
is not meaningful. Because I want to do whatever I want to do, whether or not people like it. And if I like it, I'm going to buy it. If it's a nice bag and I like it, I'm going to buy it. But the only way to do that is to stabilize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take some time to stabilize yourself and understand what you need to do and what you plan on doing, and then build after that.
Mm. Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you.
I feel you on that, sis. So for me, you know, I'm going to say mine, and then, Daddy, I'm going to let you have the last word. But for me, my New Year's resolution, and this is something that I've been working on and I've been, you know, realizing is really important for me specifically, is just to stop, you know, overthinking a lot of the things. So for me, I've had a very interesting 3 years in my life, and there's so much that occurred in my life that I was just like, why is this happening? Like, you know, I thought I was taking the correct steps. Why is this happening? I always questioned it. I never let it go, you know, and I always kind of like resisted. But then at the end of the day, I was like, okay, you know, just throw my hands up. Like, there's not much that I can do about the situation. So for me, it's just to understand that what may seem like a negative, honestly, was the best situation that occurred in my life. You know, and so for me, it's like I have to realize that things have to happen in my life, and things have to happen in anybody's life, because there's a bigger picture out there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my 2019 is to just let things happen, and you know, don't even worry about it. Don't even stress yourself, because, you know, it's just going to happen regardless. And it's happening for a reason, and it's happening for a blessing. You know, what may seem like bad is really a blessing. And I've bore witness to it my whole life. So I've just gotten in a better headspace to really say, like, this is happening. Why is it happening? Watch it and say, wow, I've learned a lot from it. So just to, you know, let go of everything, let go and let God is what a lot of people say, you know, and just allow things to happen, you know. And I've been noticing that this is a blessing. People are like, oh, my gosh, is that happening? This is a blessing. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. So for me, that's my 2019. Daddy, I'm going to let you finish off. Go ahead. What's your 2019? What you going into 2019 with?
Well, you know, well, my thing is just continue. Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
That's my bottom line.
Until we win.
That's it. You know, and my thing is behavior modification, perfecting your behavior, modifying it. I know that when the new year's come, it's funny because between the misgiving, or what some people call Thanksgiving, and the Christmas holiday, that month, give or take, is a time where people spend a great deal of time eating and drinking and buying. It is a month where people go buck wild crazy with all of the addictions that they may have, or their behavior changes. And my thing is to have a modified behavior, to have discipline in the choices that you make, myself included. You know, there are things that I'm continuing to modify. There are things that I'm continuing to grow. But something that both of you have said, which I think is very important, Sasha and Kandike, is to have no regrets. Because regrets create stress. And anything past your best is stress. And it will impact your immune system.
Absolutely.
And you have to come to the table of life loving yourself and wanting only the best for yourself. And you
that's
know,
that
as I go
right
into
there. Hold on, we got a copism right there. take the best and leave the rest.
Yeah, take the best and leave the rest. Take the sense out the nonsense.
There we go.
You know.
Now you really can't tell which one of us is talking.
and have no regrets when you think of our ancestors on the plantation. With all the things that they had to deal with, men and women, they still were able to live. They did what they had to do to get to the next day. And they had no regrets about what they had to do to get there, whatever it may have been. And we're living in the type of society right now that is a continuation of what has always been. Everybody's talking about how surprised they are, but I'm surprised that they're surprised. What did you expect?
That's my favorite cop-ism. Y'all don't understand. Like, I'm surprised that you're surprised that he says that. Yes, he says that to me all the time. And I just love that thing. I'm surprised that you're surprised. Go ahead, Daddy. I'm sorry. We interrupted you.
No, that's all right, because, you know, it's important. And you see, this is the other thing about this type of a conversation, because this is what families do. When they talk to each other, you know, they become excited in the conversation and they get in and they jump in and then they back off. And what I always thought in terms of the community that's listening to our program is to listen to a family talking. And hopefully the things that we're saying and the things that we're doing is because they can hear that this is a very real conversation, from the laughing to the things that we're saying. They can tell this is a family conversation. This ain't planned. You know, this is no TV show.
We
this
ain't cracking,
planned.
We facking.
That's it. We ain't cracking, we facking. That's it. You know? This is the way it is. And so I'm hoping that as we move into 2019, that the community begins to listen to the things that we say, and our program grows, and people listening in will continue. I know I'm going to be finishing up my book, Spirituality Before Religions, and I know that I'm going to be moving on to my next phase, and I'm just looking forward to it because we as a people have to realize how great we really are. You don't have to go back to ancient Kemet or Egypt for a classical African civilization. What we're doing right now with everything that we have, despite what we may not have, the fact that we're still doing what we're doing, we are a classical African civilization. We are classical people doing classical things in unclassical times. Because we're still living the same thing that our ancestors lived 400 years ago, except right now it's more of what I call a sophisticated savagery that's being put upon the community.
And it's
they are still the same savages. They're just sophisticated in what they do. There's more of a preciseness to what they do. But we still got the game. And let me also tell to my sisters, this is your age. This is the age of the woman. This is not the year of the woman. This is the age of the woman. And it's important that as you look around and you see what's happening, the president of the United States' greatest enemy is going to be a black woman who is the attorney general of New York. Everybody's talking about Mueller. But there was a sister that won the attorney general for New York. And what's going to bring the president of the United States and his cronies down is what this sister, the attorney general, is going to do. I realize everybody's focusing on Mueller, but really you need to focus on the attorney general of New York because she got the receipts. And she's going to bring some information and she's going to become well known. And it's important that as we develop ourselves, our sisters understand the role that they're playing. One of the most phenomenal things that happened in 2018 was the non-concession speech that the sister from Georgia made, Sister Stacey Abrams, who was running for governor. I so admire that sister for what she did. She said, "It's not that I lost." She's talking to her opponent. She said, "I can't give a concession speech because I didn't lose. You cheated." Can I get a bomb on that?
Yeah. I'm queuing it up. You ain't even got to ask.
Stacey Adams. Stacey Adams. There's going to be a group of women coming into Congress this year like never before. There are sisters that are coming in with a no-nonsense agenda. And I believe that sisters are going to clear this up now. I have a lot of respect for brothers. Please know, good brothers, sisters could not necessarily be as successful as they are without the good brothers that support them. So I'm not trying to put any brothers down. What I'm trying to say is this is the age of the woman. We're in the age of Aquarius, the water bearer. She's going to carry the receipts. She's carrying the good news for the modern human being. And so one thing that I'm looking forward to in 2019 is not so much the rise of the woman, particularly the black woman. I'm looking for sisters to take their rightful place.
There we go. Up you mighty people.
There we go.
You will accomplish what you will.
There we go.
You know, in Kemet, they didn't have a word for magic. They didn't have a word for magic. They called it Heka, H-E-K-A. And Heka was will. You will something to happen. You make it happen. The idea that when I say it ain't over till we win, I'm willing that. I'm not praying for it. I'm not hoping for it. I'm not believing it. Or am I having faith in it? I know it.
Call it into
you will accomplish what you will. You will it to happen. You make it happen.
You bring in
you don't
right
try
now.
To find time. You make the time.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to 2019 to bring in many great things for us as a people, for our family, for our brothers and sisters who are striving to make things better. I'm thinking about all of the brothers and sisters that I come upon when I stop at a red light under the Bruckner Expressway and they come out requesting some money. I'm thinking about all the brothers and sisters who are in the shelters, the ones that don't have family, the ones that are always asking for assistance and for help. I pray and I hope and I know we're going to make it happen, that we're going to make it possible for all of our people, because if all of us don't make it, none of us are going to make it. And so I just hope as we go into 2019, we understand that we have work that we have to do, and it's up to us. And my question is, do we have the will to do it?
Well, we actually have we have somebody listening. Do you have a question? It's a 469 area code. Let us know. Come in. Do you have a question for us, or are you just listening?
Oh, I'm just tuning in to this share. It is so beautiful. It's raising my vibration to the highest.
Oh, thank you, sister. What's your name, sister?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing when you get, when you're able to tune in to, and be able to receive. Some people just hear it and they're not receiving it. And I am, this is lit conversation here. Thank you. I'll just stay back and listen.
Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy whatever you're doing today and tomorrow and for the rest of the week. Enjoy whatever you're doing.
That's right. Happy holidays.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
But yeah, so we're just here and we're loving
He's been holding us together. He's the glue that holds us together. He's already part of the family. You know, just shout out to Keith. We love, love, love you.
Yes.
And love your spirit and everything that you bring. And it would, we wouldn't be where we are right now if it wasn't for you. So we just want to say thank you. Come on and talk to the people. You're not shy, Keith. Where are you at, Keith?
family. I didn't know you were waiting for me. Hotep family, I'll see you next year. According to the Gregorian calendar.
There we go. The other calendar. Like the other white meat, the other calendar. All right.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, no.